The Green Sun Show is brought to you by CEA Technology, a leader in building indoor growing systems that allow you to grow pesticide-free and conserve fertilizer, water, and energy to grow crops sustainably. Visit CEATECHN.com to learn more.
One or two? Do you see better with one, glasses, or two, LASIK surgery? I trust my eyes to the Northwest Indiana Eye and Laser Center, located in Valparaiso, Indiana. The state-of-the-art office and surgery center is the best in the region, providing complete eye care, including exams, glasses, and eye surgery. To make an appointment, call 219-464-8223. That's 219-464-8223. Or visit their website, nwindianaeyeandlaser.com. Trust your eye care to the best. And we thank the Northwest Indiana Eye and Laser Center for their support. I'm Robert Colangelo, and this is GreenSense, where we bring you eco-innovations that are changing your world. Elena Harkness, Executive Director of Current, is here to share some exciting developments that will help turn the Midwest region into a hub for water innovation. Elena, welcome back to the GreenSense Show.
Thanks so much, Robert. It's great to be back.
Well, we last had you on in 2022, and since then you've won a sizable NSF grant, which has catapulted your organization and you to rock star status. I see you everywhere. You're on TV with the governor, with business executives, academicians. Congratulations for all your hard work and success. How does it feel?
You know, it feels like we've really met the moment we've been working really hard for a long time, in partnership with people who have been working for decades to put water resources on the map as a more important critical strategic issue for us here in Chicago and in Illinois and across the Great Lakes region. So, you know, I was saying recently to a group of our collaborators, it feels like this beginning of a new chapter, but it's really the middle of a very long standing story here about how we can, you know, use our water resources more effectively here.
Well, if it was easy, anybody can do it. And you know the old saying, those things that are hard and don't kill you make you tired.
That's right. But also stronger and more inspired.
Right. So before we get into the NSF grant, give our listeners who may not know of Current, what Current's all about, what the blue economy is, and why the blue economy is important to them.
Yeah. Current is a nonprofit water innovation hub. We're headquartered here in Chicago. And we were structured to be a place where our region's leading researchers, entrepreneurs with great ideas about how to solve water more effectively, our region's leading utilities, corporate leaders, and could all come together and think about how we build a better future for water here in our region. So we've been this really, you know, cross-sector collaborative table setter. And our goal really since 2016 was to put water on the map and to really, for the last 5 years, think about how we can put the inclusive blue economy on radar as a goal for our region. So what do we mean when we say that? Well, for us, the blue economy is everybody who's involved with making solutions to water challenges, whether that's building better pipes or green infrastructure or the sensors that help us understand what's in our water, managing and detecting leaks in our pipes, like all sorts of things go into that solution side. And on the demand side, it's really everybody who needs those technologies and solutions in order to do what they do. So it could be heavy water industry, it could be utilities, it could be residential consumers. So all of us in some ways are participating in the blue economy. It's a really broad vision. And one of our reasons for drawing such a big circle around that is we want everybody to understand that their future is linked to water and that everybody should have opportunities to build up to good paying jobs and careers in the blue economy if they want to. There's so many ways to participate. It doesn't mean you have to be an engineer, you know, or a wastewater treatment plant operator, but you certainly can. So we're really excited to draw that sort of big blue tent around this opportunity in the region.
That was a great succinct explanation. How far of an area do you cover geographically?
Well, so Current has historically been really focused on the opportunity to put Chicago and Illinois on the map as a center of water innovation globally. And what has changed in the last couple of years for us is really the opportunity to connect partners across our region that have very similar and aligned visions and goals. And so when we think about the power of our region as a global source of water technology solutions and a source of talent and everything else, you know, it's really advantageous for us to think about not only what we have here in Chicago and Illinois, but what we have here spanning the entire Great Lakes region. So now our reach is really, we have six states that partners are drawn from in this new project that you mentioned with the National Science Foundation. We'll talk more about that. But for us, it's been a really great opportunity because the Great Lakes themselves, you know, this wonderful water asset that we have here, they're a really powerful convening feature, right? They're something that we have that's immovable. It's this asset that we all have, that we all have a responsibility to steward more effectively. But surrounding that Great Lakes Basin are all these really interesting economic regions, right? Metropolitan regions and cities that have had historical, you know, manufacturing assets and Big Ten universities. And it's just a really exciting collection of assets when you draw the boundary that way. So we're excited about the six-state region and the power that it has.
When you talk about the Great Lakes, it's hard not to ignore Canada. You know, we have treaties and legislation. Is Canada involved with this?
We have partners in Canada. We have that, actually, there's a current like organization in Ontario that does very similar work. So we have lots of interest in Canadian partnerships, and that's kind of an area of expansion and potential for us. But we are watching with great interest, and you're right, it is definitely, you know, multiple countries that are engaged in the future of our Great Lakes.
Well, let's get into the details of the National Science Foundation grant, and let's start out real simple. For those that may not be familiar with this world, what is a grant?
So a grant is really funding that comes to an organization. In our case, we're a nonprofit from, could be a lot of different sources, but in the case that we're talking about here, it's a grant from the federal government. And people may have heard about some of the really big enabling legislation that's passed in the last couple of years, the Infrastructure and Jobs Act, the CHIPS and Science Act. So these big enabling pieces of legislation have really laid out some spending priorities that are about the prosperity of our economy, investing in our nation's infrastructure. And underneath that, there's all kinds of programs, including this really exciting program that the National Science Foundation has created for the first time ever to invest in local innovation economies. So this grant that we have received is part of this National Science Foundation Regional Innovation Engines program. First of its kind, biggest ever for the National Science Foundation. And it was a competitive process. So we pulled together our collaborative in response to this call.
So a grant in simple terms is money that's given to you that you don't have to pay back?
That's correct. It's money that's given to us for a very specific set of purposes that we have proposed. And there's so many different ways that a, you know, a grant can be structured. And there's so many different conditions that different grantors will put on that money. But in our case, yes, it's money that goes to support very specific purposes in pursuit of the mission that we've defined in our project.
And you mentioned this was a competitive process. Let's get into that. Talk a little bit about what it took to prepare the proposal and submit the proposal. Who worked on the team that put it together? I assume there isn't. I'd like to hear how many people, because this was quite a sizable grant,
Yes.
and how long it took to prepare
Yeah. Oh, it's taking me back.
it.
Taking me back. It was a big lift. Our organization was sort of purpose-built to be a convener, as I mentioned. That's our job, right? So we have multiple research universities with water experts that have been around our table. We've had utilities that have been a part of this, nonprofits that have an interest in water advocacy in different ways. So we really started by bringing together the coalition we already had. And I would say that was, you know, dozens, maybe 20, 30 key leaders that had really an idea about how we could respond to this grant. And I should say the first person that I talked to about this was the person that became my co-PI on the project. And that's Dr. Junhong Chen, who is a professor in the School of Molecular Engineering at the Pritzker School of Molecular Engineering at the University of Chicago. He's also the lead water strategist at Argonne National Lab. And he had been a collaborator of ours for some years. And as we sort of saw this call and he went, "This is perfect. You know, we've got to pull together a coalition, and Current's the perfect place to do that." And so the two of us really sort of went to work putting together a leadership team across our region. There was this really interesting group of collaborators across the research universities that really had already organically been working together in different ways on big challenges. Things like, how do we get PFAS out of our water, right? This is this huge contaminant that everybody's really concerned about. And the research community has been focused on it for a long time. There's a whole group working on sensors. How do we get better sensors that are able to develop and detect things like critical minerals? People don't know that the minerals and materials that we used to make electric batteries, like the vehicles that are, powered by electricity, we need a lot of like lithium and cobalt, these very difficult to source minerals. And some of that can be found in wastewater. So there's whole coalitions of people thinking about how do we get breakthrough technologies that help us do that. So we had a whole group working on the grand challenges and the sort of what we call the R&D thrust of the project. What are the breakthrough technologies that we're going to build with Great Lakes Renew that are going to power us into the future and drive this resource recovery re revolution that we need? There was a whole group that was focused on how do we build great companies based on that cutting edge R&D. That's a difficult problem. It means we had to bring venture capitalists to the table, people that really worked on that know entrepreneurship really well and can think about how do we bring in all kinds of entrepreneurship talent to really, bring all the talent in our region onto the playing field here and think about how we boost, the Midwest's potential as a source of entrepreneurship and growth there. And then a third pillar was bringing together our region's workforce experts. And so this is something that Current has been working on for a long time here in Illinois, thinking about the blue jobs pathways we need to create. And for Great Lakes Renew, we came up with what we call the K to Gray pipeline. So it's K to Gray, everyone from, kindergarten all the way through, your middle and later working years. How can everybody see a path to a great job in water? And that's the pipeline we want to draw, with the workforce investments we're going to make in Great Lakes Renew. So we built this very large coalition, 60 plus partners. It's like 150 people regularly on these like all hands Zoom calls. And we just started to map out the strategy.
What a Herculean effort. That's amazing that you were able to pull so many people together and get a proposal written. How long did it take to write the proposal?
Well, we started assembling this kind of wonderful coalition and building it up in May 2022. The proposal went in January 2023. And then from January 2023 all the way till the grant was announced in January 2024, we were in different phases of review and sort of competitive down selection. So that whole period of time was sort of May to January for the submission, and then basically a year of just
A
really
gut-wrenching terror waiting to be announced. So, how many proposals were submitted to NSF?
We don't know the total number of proposals submitted, but there were hundreds of concept submissions. NSF did this wonderful process where they published all the concepts. So you could go and actually see concept submissions all over the country. And it was this incredible, like, kind of public outpouring of innovation priorities across the country, which, if you are really interested in innovation generally, like I am, it was fascinating to see, aerospace projects, ag tech, sustainable textiles, you name it, the innovation priorities of the country were revealed in those engine concept submissions. So that was really interesting in and of itself. There were about 188, I think, invited proposals to put full proposals in. And from that, the down selection to the portfolio of 10 Type 2 engines that were just announced here in January. So we are obviously, we're thrilled to be part of this inaugural portfolio. And yeah, a steep, steep competitive process and a big pool.
So, of almost 200, only 10 were selected. Is that
That's right. 10
correct?
were funded for Type 2. Yep.
And what funding level?
So this grant is actually structured in an interesting way. It's called a cooperative agreement, and it's 10 years and up to $160 million. So it's a very large potential award. We have $15 million for the first 2 years to get started. And then we basically put plans together for the National Science Foundation and work with our program officers in this cooperative way to put our like phase, two, three, four, five plans together as we move through the 10-year period.
Does
So
cooperative agreement mean that you have to have a cash match?
there's no hard and fast cash match, but what we know is that $160 million sounds like a lot of money, and it's a major investment and a kickstart to this innovation engine in our region. But if you think about the scale of the challenge here, right, addressing like making our entire region think differently about the way we manage water resources and extracting the value from our water. Great Lakes Renew is all about turning waste into wealth, but that is an enormous undertaking. So $160 million is a great down payment on that, but we're going to have to raise a lot more if we're going to execute on this big vision. So while there's no like one-to-one match or dollar for dollar, we're going to be, our fundraising lift just got much, much bigger in a really great way.
Well, and also with 60 partners and 100 plus people involved, that money that doesn't go so far. So, yes, congratulations. That's fantastic. But the work has just begun, as you mentioned. You said 10 grants were awarded. Were they all in water, or was each region given a different focus? And was there any duplication?
Each region had a different focus. They are all distinct. There's a lot of overlap. And I think what's really encouraging as someone who cares deeply about climate is that I would say about half of the 10 have some sort of overlay with a climate priority. So there's sort of a water scarcity focused proposal in Arizona, a climate resilience engine in Colorado and Wyoming, better and more sustainable agriculture in North Dakota, the sustainable textiles in North Dakota. So there's this wonderful sort of overlay of climate as a major innovation priority for the country that you see emerging in this pool. But it also included a lot of other projects.
One of the conditions of a grant is that you have to have deliverables. So let's get into some of the deliverables. You mentioned the focus, turning waste into wealth and health through resource recovery and development. Tell us more about some of the specific programs. And just to lead in, we're going to do an interview with one of the co-leads on the Renew Project, Dr. Brian Chaplin, professor at University of Chicago, who's working on PFAS, which we've done a number of shows on PFAS. They're very important to get out of our
Very
water
important.
system. So from that, go ahead and tell us a little bit about the key focus, concrete projects that'll come out of it, and how does Renew fit in?
Yeah, that's great. Dr. Chaplin's a great example at UIC, a wonderful partner who's actually, he was one of our collaborators that has been a founding research consortium member of Current. So he's been around and thinking about this work for a really long time and a great partner in Renew. So the deliverables we have really cover those same three priorities I mentioned: R&D, translating innovations to practice, and the workforce development component. And then there's a fourth, and that's really about engine building and creating the ecosystem that will kind of continue to power this work forward. And that's really, where Current and our kind of hub home is in charge of making sure that we've got great convening, excellent communications, that we're, really bringing this group together in a way that continues to strengthen and deliver like greater than the sum sort of results. But the specific deliverables, so for R&D, we have specific research challenges that we already scoped 10 collaborative projects across the region that are going to be hitting the ground this year. All of them draw from multiple different university partners and bring different capabilities to solving, moving these grand challenges forward. And it's all about selective separation in some way, building better membranes, more efficient membranes, the sensors and artificial intelligence that's like needed to help us understand where we're going to be collecting materials from, and then thinking about the test beds where we trial those technologies. So that's the sort of research thrust. And each of those projects has very specific technical milestones, but they're all scoped and ready to go, and that's great. We also will run one competitive call later this year, early next, where we will be from among our partners in Renew, picking new priorities, because one of the critical things with this whole innovation engine framework is that the research be driven by users, end users. And so our industry core in industry consortium members plus utility partners will be helping shape those research priorities based on the best of what we know about emerging challenges and emerging opportunities. So we're really excited to run that R&D kind of competitive cycle again once this year. On the translation side, we're going to be standing up multiple cohorts of accelerators that are all focused on these resource recovery goals, and also standing up more formalized coalitions of industry members and also venture investors, which we're really excited about where both of those pathways can lead. On the workforce side, we've completed the process of mapping what the workforce needs to do in Illinois. We released that in a project called Upstream Illinois that you can download on Current's website. That's our broader blue economy framework for our region. But we need to do that mapping across our region of service, across Ohio, Illinois, and Wisconsin are the first three states where we're going to be like deeply working on the ground in these first 2 years. So we've got workforce mapping to do, and then program development that's got to begin in earnest because we have job training goals that we want to achieve in those first 2 years. We're trying to have 500 people that we are, bringing through programs and pathways and getting, into the blue workforce.
And people can find out more about this at greatlakesrenew.org. That's greatlakesrenew.org. What kind of opportunities are out there for our listeners to access grant funds, if they're not part of the partnership?
Yes. So we're going to have multiple requests for proposals coming out over the course of the next 2 years in each of those categories. So some will be for R&D and they'll be for partners in the project. We are always looking for new university partners to come on board the research consortium. We are also looking for industry partners that for industry that's in the sort of heavy water using arena. We always are looking for new industry partners to come on board who are interested in helping us to shape those research priorities and thinking about really how to bring this technology to market faster. We will be calling for entrepreneurs with great ideas to come and participate in our accelerator. And we will be putting out calls for this workforce mapping really soon. So make sure you're signed up to follow Current on all of our social channels, but also we have a newsletter where those RFPs will be, hitting the ground. So those are really great ways to find out about how you can become part of this coalition.
In closing, give me three bullet points of how our listeners can benefit from this grant and all the great work that Current's doing.
Yeah. So number one, I think everybody needs to have a better understanding that the Great Lakes region is in the middle of the clean energy and climate transition in so many ways. Water is a huge part of that story. And if we're successful, we're going to be helping to drive a lot more investment from our regional states, from our federal government, into making sure that we are protecting these resources and we are using them most effectively. And I think it is pretty exciting, to know that you live in a region that could be so much a part of the solution to our climate challenge, which is just existential for all of us, right? So that's number one. I hope that's inspiring. And I hope everybody wants to just, if not participate, just spur us along in the background, right? Number two, I hope that this opens up a world of new opportunities for youth in our region that are thinking about like who they want to be and what they want to do when they grow up. There is so much to do in the water and climate arena. And if you can take away anything from this, it's that the jobs of the future, we probably don't even know what they are yet, but it's going to be around new materials and how we manage our resources more effectively. So that's number two. And number three, I think there's going to be so much good public programming coming out of this. We've got Chicago Water Week coming up in May. There's going to be a lot of opportunities just to keep learning and keep pushing for a better future that we all want and need here in the Great Lakes, but also for the globe. Really, like our tagline for Great Lakes Renew, we want to make it here, made in the Great Lakes, but built for the world, right? That's what we really want to see happen. And I'm inspired by this coalition and all of our partners every day, and we hope you will be too.
Well, all you have to do when you go to Chicago is look at Lake Michigan to get inspired and realize that we have one of the most precious natural resources right in our own backyard. And because of you and your organization that cherishes water, hopefully that will be a protected resource for many generations to come.
That's right.
Elena, congratulations on all your success and making Current make its mark on the Midwest region and the Chicagoland area. We'd love to have you back on the show when you have some concrete examples of some successful programs.
Absolutely. We'd love to be back. It's always great to be with you, Robert. Thanks for the opportunity.
Great to see you.
Great to see you.
That was Elena Harkness, Executive Director, Current, talking about their work to build a regional blue economy focused on innovative water management solutions. I'm Robert Colangelo, and thank you for listening to Green Sense. And catch the Green Sense Minute every Thursday and Saturday on 105.9 WBBM Chicago.
The Green Sense Show is brought to you by CEA Technology, a leader in building indoor growing systems that allow you to grow pesticide-free and conserve fertilizer, water, and energy to grow crops sustainably. Visit CEATECHN.com to learn more.